Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was in school, elementary school, not college, I was in 4-H. Are you familiar with the four H's? Head, heart, hands, and health. We had to memorize those, and it seemed a lot those, and recite them at our meetings, and it seemed a lot harder when I was, I don't know, 9. Than I did today to just remember them. Anyway, as a 4-H'er, I participated in boys' cooking. Today, they would probably just call it culinary arts and it would be co-ed, but at the time, boys' cooking, and my mom was one of our instructors. Thanks, Ma. I probably have a 15-year food service career to thank you for. I also raised guide dog puppies. From about the time where they were 8 weeks old until 18 months old. The dogs, not me. And then when they were about a year and a half old, we would give the dogs back to the professional trainers who would then train them to become real live guide dogs. And I also showed goats for a couple years. Goats. My younger brother showed rabbits a year or two. My older brother did chickens. And I'm not sure if you show chickens. I'm not sure how all that worked out. Did he show them, Mom? You just bring them to the fair? I don't even know. We had the cheap animals. We had what we could afford. The kids who lived on the big farms and the big dairies, they had the expensive animals. And they had the pick of the litter from all the cattle, all the sheep, all the pigs. And we had the cheap animals. So at the end of the fair, when those 4-H'ers were auctioning off their livestock, we were loading our goat, chickens, rabbits into our truck and heading home with no money. And maybe, probably a participation ribbon. I don't even think we got medals. I don't know. 4-H has nothing to do with our gospel reading this morning, other than the mention of sheep and goats. And what you'll soon discover from is that our reading this morning has little to do with sheep or goats, because it's actually a parable or at least a short story with a point. This story comes from the end of the Olivet Discourse in Matthew's Gospel. This is the end of Jesus' instruction to the disciples before the events that will lead up to his arrest and crucifixion. Prior to this, Jesus has already warned the disciples about the dark days that will lie ahead when false prophets will arise and many will lose their faith. The suffering, Jesus says, will be interrupted when the Son of Man comes on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And all of that is a description of the long-anticipated second coming of Jesus. Jesus hasn't even been crucified yet and come back from the dead, and he's already talking about when he will return at the end of times. Then, when the Son of Man comes, he'll be seated upon the throne with the angels around him, and from there, as we confess in the Apostles' Creed, he will judge the living and the dead. All the nations will be gathered around him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Now, this is one of only two mentions of goats in all of the New Testament. The only mention of goats in Matthew's Gospel. The only other place goats are mentioned is in Luke chapter 15, verse 29. When, in another parable, when the older son complains to his father when his younger brother, the prodigal, returns, he complains that his father has killed the fatted calf and his father had never even sacrificed a goat for he and his friends to have a party. The only two mentions of goats in Scripture. The reason I mention this is that the differentiation between sheep and goats was not common in Scripture. This doesn't happen. And actually, it wasn't common in the literature of the time. In fact, there is little evidence that shepherds ever separated sheep from goats. And we don't know why they would have. I was listening to a podcast this week, and a scholar on it was saying that while he was in grad school taking Akkadian, an ancient Semitic language, his Akkadian professor, who was Jewish, mentioned that in Akkadian, there are not two separate words for sheep and goats. The same word is used of both. So why would you separate animals that you call the same thing? They are the same to you. So the point of the illustration is not that sheep and goats are so different, or that sheep are inherently good and goats are inherently bad. Rather, the point is that like a shepherd can differentiate between two animals that seemingly are similar, so similar they're called the same thing, the Son of Man will be able to separate people one from another because he will know us so well. Having separated the two, the king turns to his right where the righteous have gathered and tells them that they will inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for them from the foundation of the world. And then he enlightens both them and us about what has differentiated them from the others. And it's not about where they were born. It's not about which tribe they belong to. It's about what they have done or they have left undone. That has been the basis for their separation. Jesus says that the king will say to the righteous, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked, you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Jesus' description confused the righteous, and they're not confused because they didn't do these things. They're confused because they did do these things, but they didn't knowingly do these things to Jesus. Then they did what I suspect few of us would have done if it had been us. They told Jesus, you've got it wrong. You think better of us than we actually are. When did we do these things? It would be like getting an A+ on a paper and going back to the teacher and going, I think he got this wrong. This is not A+ work. Would you mind, checking your work? Because not so good. Or winning a talent show and going to the judges and goes, she was way better than I was. Did you see the same? Did you get our numbers confused or something? And when Jesus said that they were blessed because they fed, gave drink, clothed, took care of, and visited him, they could have replied, of course, Jesus, we did those things. We got your back. We're here for you. Don't worry about it. We always got your back. But they didn't. They didn't even know what Jesus was talking about. They didn't know what had made them righteous. Instead, they asked Jesus, when? When did we see you hungry, thirsty, a stranger, sick, naked, or in prison? When did we feed, give drink, clothe, take care of, and visit you? Why are you giving us undeserved credit for something we don't think that we have done? To which Jesus replied that the king will say, truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. What he didn't add but could have is that even when you didn't realize it, or especially when you don't realize it, when you were serving them, you were serving me. By saying so, Jesus has presented the greatest commandments in reverse order. We know them as love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. In this parable, Jesus is saying, when you love your neighbor, you are showing your love for me. When you give the essentials of life to your needy neighbor, you are showing your love for me. And then to those at his left, Jesus repeats what he has told the righteous, but in the negative. You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, and in prison, and you did not give me drink, or food or clothes or take care of me or visit me. And then the accursed asked the exact same question that the righteous did. When did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or sick or in prison? It's the same question that the righteous have just asked. Certainly their motivations are different. The righteous, I think, were confused, while the accursed are incredulous. The implication of their question is that if they had known that serving others was actually serving Jesus, they would have done so. If just we'd known. Which I think brings us to the real meat of the matter. It's kind of a funny thing for a vegetarian to say, but I'm trying to tie it back to livestock. And this whole sheep and goats thing, anyway. The issue at hand here is not simply the act of feeding, clothing, visiting, and taking care of another person. Jesus is not suggesting that the righteous are righteous because they served him. The point is that they serve their neighbor in need, not knowing that doing so was serving Jesus. Their motivations were pure. They were loving and serving their neighbor because their neighbor had a need. This was not a transaction for them. This was not some quid pro quo, oh, I'll do this to get on Jesus' good side, because they didn't even know. The accursed gladly would have done all of those things if they knew it would have made them righteous and brought them to the right hand of the Son of Man. Because you see, righteousness, that is living in right relationship with God, is not about doing what pleases God in order to earn God's favor. Righteousness is not about doing what pleases God to earn God's favor. Righteousness is about doing what pleases God because we've already received God's favor. We don't do these things in order to be loved by God. We do these things because God has loved us. We do it in response to that love. We give ourselves in service to others because God has selflessly given God's self to us. God has loved us in a way that we don't deserve. And the response is to love others in a way that they don't deserve. The righteous serve the least of these without knowing that doing so would result in their inheriting the kingdom. They did so because they had been changed. These last couple of weeks, we've read parables about wedding banquets. And 2 weeks ago, we read about the man who had been invited into the wedding banquet, but then gets thrown out by the king because he isn't wearing the right wedding robe. And last week, we read about the foolish bridesmaids who didn't have oil for their lamps. And in both of those stories, I made the point, I think very eloquently and convincingly, that what is at issue was not what the man was wearing nor having oil in the lamp, but what was at issue was that man and those foolish bridesmaids had not given all of themselves in faith. They hadn't brought all of themselves. They hadn't allowed themselves to be changed. The robe and the oil are signs or symbols of their faith, of their commitment, of their willingness to be changed. And I suggest that that's the same is true of the sheep as opposed to the goats. The sheep have been changed by the love that they have received from God in order that they might respond in loving ways to that which God loves, which is God's creation, both human and non-human. They have been changed. And when a shepherd can't tell the difference, because it's the same word for a sheep and a goat, but the creator can tell the difference between those who do loving acts of service out of obligation or duty or hoping to get something in return, and those who do it out of response to the love that they've received from God. When they do it out of a loving and willing spirit to give to others as they have need. The shepherd can tell the difference. We may be working side by side with people doing loving acts in the community, and they may be people who confess no faith at all. The acts are the same. That isn't what differentiates. It's the love within which it is being shared that differentiates the righteous from the unrighteous. And ultimately will differentiate those who respond to the invitation to the wedding banquet and those who don't. Because who wants to be a goat, right? There's always one. Was that you, Philip? All right. Phil Starseth, ladies and gentlemen, he and I went to seminary together, and he sits there with a mask on, but we know he's biting his tongue. I don't want to be a goat. Nope. Because a goat ain't got no hope. Nope. Right? So we live in the hope of Jesus Christ, in the promise of the resurrection, trusting that through God's gracious love, we are being changed. We are being transformed. We are being sanctified in order that we might lovingly serve, willingly serve, generously serve, love our neighbors as ourselves, so that we might give food and drink. We might welcome and clothe. We might take care of and visit those who are the least of these. And in so doing, we will see Christ in them, and they will see Christ in us. I don't want to be a goat. Nope. I just want to be a child of God, walk in the same path that he trod. I just want to be a child of God. Amen.